We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, Charlamagne the God here, Angela Yee. We are the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Envy is off today, but we got a special guest, man. Very requested guest. Highly requested guest.
Really?
Yes. Tony Baker is here.
Wow.
What's happening, my brother?
Man, for the first time, this is debut. I love y'all, by the way. I want to interview y'all. Like, I want to ask y'all the questions. So tell me, how'd y'all get in radio?
Yeah, that. And listen, yeah. Ida Rodriguez, I know she absolutely loves you. She always talks about you. So she hit me too. She was like, are you going to have Tony Baker on the show? I'm like, it's already taken care of.
Yes, that is my dog right there, for sure. 100%.
Now, I had everybody hitting me from Sean King to the comedians like Isaiah Kelly. I'm like, well, damn.
Everybody on Instagram.
Yeah. Because it was like, man, I want to be on The Breakfast Club. I always wanted to be on. I was like, I'm doing Caroline's this weekend.
That's right.
Let me just, you know, put it out there in the universe.
You didn't need our help for that, though, because you sold that out quick.
Man, yeah, it sold out. I was like, New York pulled up. Because New York always in the comments section. When you coming to New York, son? Mm-hmm. When you word is born, son? When you coming? And I was like, all right, if I come out there, buy the tickets early. And they did.
Now, I saw a bit you did when you turn the stage, man. Cause I know condolences on your son.
Oh, thank you.
You know, but I was very intrigued because I was like, how does a comedian approach something,
right?
You know, like this. So, how have you been holding up? First of all,
this has been the scariest I've ever been comedically. Like normally, like I'm the type of comedian that I talk about whatever's going on in my life, and I talk about like on the surface stuff, like, you know, observations and stuff like that. But then, you know, I always include what I'm going through in my life. And so with that, it was like, you know, comedy. My son passed August 3rd in a car accident, for those that don't know. And then I went on the road August 25th to Atlanta. So I was like, and I needed the comedy. I needed to, you know, keep working and making people laugh as part of my, you know, therapy. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, but I'm scared to do it because people saw me lose my son in real time.
Right.
It's not like, you know, you just see me and like, man, he lost his son. But we didn't know him then, so we can kind of detach from that reality.
Yeah.
So now I'm scared to bring that material out because the crowd is hurting too. Mm-hmm. So they're mourning with me. So it was just like, man. So I finally did it on Keep Your Distance, mm-hmm. which is a virtual comedy show that Kev on Stage does. And it went well. I told the audience, look, man, I need to talk about this, so y'all mm-hmm. need to open up. And then they received it.
I saw some of the things that you said.
Yeah,
too, so.
About the cremation, how do I know it's really him or her?
Yeah.
I want to know. I need to check this dust right here.
And I thought it was funny, but I was like, am I supposed to laugh?
Yes.
Oh, that's
the weird part, but it's like there's comedy everywhere. You just got to be able to find the sweet spot, I guess, to be able to make it relative and like funny.
That's what Marlon Wayans said when he was up here. He was like, when you're a comedian, even a funeral, you can find some type
of. Absolutely.
And he said that exact same thing.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, because I'm sitting there mm-hmm. and I'm laughing, you know, I was able to laugh like, you know, the day he passed, I'm laughing, you know, crying, you know, I still cry daily, but it's like I laugh at stuff every day too. So
yeah,
it's like. I was like, man, I never thought, you know, you never know how you're going to react to stuff until it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the country, man. I'm from Moscow, South Carolina, so we laugh at everything. But I feel like sometimes with comedians, it's like an obligation to be funny. But what if I don't feel like fucking being funny right now?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And there's those moments where it was just like, I guess it was just in me, and I found that out going through that. I was just like, man, I'm still cracking jokes.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Like, at the funeral, I'm doing a set. You know, I did 15 minutes at his funeral, just like, yeah, man, crying. And then I would be like, yeah, he was always late. So I'm sure he was late to the afterlife, too. Mm-hmm. Like, God was like, man, yo, I called you 20 minutes ago. What took you so long? I had to put lotion on.
Yeah.
You don't get ashy here. Like, you never know. You got to look good.
And I saw you said that the crowd gets tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when crowds get uncomfortable, as a comedian, you're used to, I guess, loosening them up, right?
Yeah. So going up there, like, I'll cuss a crowd out. That's the kind of comedian
what?
I am. Like, if the crowd is too stiff, I'll cuss them out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because like there's certain rooms where they'd be like, prove it to us. And they just sit there, arms folded, and then.
I saw somebody bring her boyfriend to a comedy show, and he was sitting there like mad the whole time.
Yeah.
Right in the front, too.
You can't be in the front with that energy.
And
take
then,
that to the back.
They ripped him.
Yeah, you should be. If you're going to be in the front, we need the energy. Fake it. But if you're going to be arms folded, McGee, sit in the back. Sit your ass in the back with that energy. You'd be like, look out, man. But with this type of topic, and it's not like I was forcing myself to find the material, because some comedians do too much and they feel like I have to make everything funny out of everything. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just organic. It was just like, you know, I'd be looking at my son's urn. It's right in the living room. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, how do I know that's him in there? They could have handed me any type of... Your son.
That's true, though. Yeah.
So I was like, yo, can I take this on Maury to make sure this is my son in here? You know what I'm saying? The DNA.
You know what's so crazy about that when I heard you say it? I think I would have to watch. I know it's cruel as it sounds, only because they be harvesting organs and stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure y'all...
Oh, you want to watch the process when they go in the oven.
Yeah, I want to make sure everything is gone.
Is that what you want to be cremated also?
Oh, definitely. Throw me in that oven. 375.
Nice slow roast.
I want to be slow roasted. Put some seasonings in there, too, if you want to.
I don't know if 375 is hot enough.
No, I don't think, but that's y'all want it to last like a week. Be like, slow roast me if they can. You know what I mean? So, y'all want to be cremated?
I haven't thought about it, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
You want to be buried?
Why do you want to be cremated?
Because we're running out of real estate.
That is true.
So you don't want to...
It's overcrowded. It's like, you know, especially New York. We drove through Queens. It's all cemetery.
Well, that's very thoughtful of you. So just because of overcrowding...
Yeah, like, because, you know... Or they got to dig up them old bodies of people that died in 1869. You got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody coming to visit you no more. You died in 1869.
Oh, my God.
Your family moved.
But that is true. I guess it's more inexpensive, too, like as far as having to buy a plot of land and having to get a casket, because caskets are expensive, too.
Yeah, and you dead.
And then the outfit.
What you care? That's right. What I'm saying? Just throw me in there.
Yeah, because you have to have on like something nice. Yep. And, you know,
that's
you
a waste of a good outfit. Waste of a good outfit. You wasting a good suit.
That's real.
You know, and then you sitting there in one location. Like, what if you don't like the location no more? Your family done moved to different states. I'm like, scatter me around. Put me in a garden of a nice house and just sprinkle me right there. He would love this house. Sprinkle me. The owner would come out. What you doing out there? You just run off.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about those movies where they're like, don't bury me. I'm not dead.
Oh, yeah. Buried alive.
Yeah. So what if, like,
you were still alive and threw you in the oven?
Yeah, now I got cremated.
Yeah. But you did. They already did your autopsy. You could have woke up then. But y'all better start thinking about this, man. It's coming.
I know. We were talking about it. I saw you post the funeral where he was in the club.
Yeah, he was standing on stage, and I'm like, yo, that's how I want my funeral, though.
See? We were talking about this the other day. I want a party.
So you want us to have your ashes in the club?
No. I want keep my body for the actual
party.
Game night. I want a game night, though. I don't want the club, because I'm not a club whore. I feel like your funeral should be how you live your life. A lot of us ain't really church like that no more.
Yeah.
So I feel like having me at the church wouldn't be reflective of how I was living my life. So a game night is me.
Okay.
You know, so prop me up at the table, Uno cards in my hand, and you can pay your respects. You put that reverse down. Come back to his tone reverse.
Yeah.
That's a good funeral right there. That's how I was living.
Oh, or
on stage with a mic.
Okay.
Right. Whatever you was into. Like for y'all would be propped up in the radio station.
I don't know if that's how I wanted.
You got Charlamagne in the corner, you know what I'm saying, stirring the pot. So put like a pot here, and he's stirring it. Have Angela Yee did with the info on the guests, like hard hitting questions.
Doing
an interview, just be over here, not really knowing who the guest is, and like, give me your top five such and such.
Charlamagne, let me take that question over here.
Give me your top five real estate investments of all time. And so, you know, because that's how we was living, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you be writing books and stuff.
Yeah, so.
But that rapper on stage, I'm like, yo, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's what he wanted. And the family respected that.
I loved it.
Yeah, they were offended that people had issues with it and were like making it a meme and that it went viral the way that it did. They were like, just respect the fact this is what he wanted.
I applauded it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I did a video on it. I was like, this is what I'm talking about. This is
what you want.
Should be. Because the church is fake. You ain't been to church in 10 years.
Exactly.
You don't pay tithes.
That's right.
You know, it was just like, why are you in there in the final? And God, this is God's favorite child right here.
He ain't been no to matter church. What he did in life, right. What you did in life.
He killed two people. He didn't atone.
Going to church online counts, though, right?
Bedside Baptist. Yeah, it counts.
I feel like my relationship with God is personal. Like I don't need the church and the choir and the pastor that I don't really trust. I don't really trust the Bible because there's too many hands involved in the creation of the written text. You know, once King James put his name on there, I'm like, I don't know. You know, King James be like, man, take that out, put this in.
Word.
You can't trust it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just deal with God one on one. Because at the end of the day, it's just gonna be you.
You know, I was just in a wedding, and I was wondering, do men plan their wedding out in their head from when they're younger? Like, do y'all be thinking, like, when I get married, this is how I want it to be. I want a big wedding. I want a small wedding, destination. Do y'all think about things like that?
I didn't. Like, we think about marriage, but we don't think about the wedding. Mm-hmm. We just be like, yeah, man, I just want to find me a good one, you know, raise a family. We think about the marriage itself and the family. But the wedding day, I'd be like, forget it.
Right.
Like, it's a waste of money, in my opinion.
Okay.
Like if you rich and you balling, sure, it's just a little night. It's just a little weekend, whatever. But when you got to save up and, like, y'all trying to get your earnings together, and we got to save up for the wedding.
Yeah.
You done spent $80,000 on a wedding. Your salary is $65,000 a year each, maybe. That's a good chunk.
And what happened to daddy's paying for the wedding? Remember there was a time when the father paid for the wedding?
That don't happen.
I remember that.
My father-in-law put in some money.
Did he?
Yeah, he put in a nice chunk of change.
Y'all had a big wedding?
I mean, it was cool. Like, yeah, it was cool.
How much was it?
I don't remember the financials, but it was like
you remember.
No, I really don't.
Did you make enough money back from what you spent? Because you know that's part of what people hope for too when they get married. That the people who come to the wedding pay enough for their seats so that it pays for the wedding.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Like how much do you? Yeah, how much do you get?
That's the door deal. You coming to my wedding? You're gonna be $20. You know, got to make the money back.
Like if you go to a wedding, how much do you give?
I ain't never gave at a wedding.
You never been to a wedding?
I've been in weddings. I've been in like several, but like going to a wedding, like Takara. Y'all know Takara? Mm-hmm. She's a comedian. She just got married. Okay. I gave her $1,000.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, just on the, because I couldn't make the wedding. I was like, here's a gift.
Okay.
You know, so.
That's dope. That's great when people don't come and they give you some money.
Yeah, because so I felt bad. Because they was like, they were hitting me up. Because it was like, yo, we got vegan options for y'all. And I was like, man, I ain't going to make the wedding. So I felt bad because I knew that was a lot of planning.
Right.
Like, you know, because I know the bride stresses over.
Well, the worst is if you say you're going and then you don't show up.
Exactly.
That's the worst thing to do.
And like, that's what
I
did.
If you cancel at the last.
So that's why I came through with the $1,000.
Oh, yeah, you had to. That was that guilt money.
Like, it was the guilt gift. The guilt gift that keeps on giving. Hell yeah.
So you, you were on Last Comic Standing too, right?
Yeah.
For a couple seasons?
I was on there for two seasons.
What made you do that? Because I've always heard your name.
Yeah.
So what was the, you know?
I, as comedians, I started doing stand-up in 2008. And, you know, you get on Last Comic Standing, you think your life going to change. Mm. Oh, this is NBC. This is it. This is the moment. And then I did it that first season. I didn't advance. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that's I guess that's that. And then they brought me back.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think they felt like I got robbed on that first season because I had a really good set. And they was just like, but nah. And I was like, man. And I was kind of crushed. I was like, man, because I knew I delivered. Mm-hmm. But then they brought me back. And I was like, man, maybe my life will change now. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't. So I was like, all right. Cool.
What did you expect to happen?
Because, like, you know, on NBC, it's on NBC, huge platform, right. Millions of people seeing you. So from there, you catapult that into, you know, headlining across the country. So it's like, you know, it's a huge step. But when you don't advance and then it's just like, you know, you don't get all that airtime and the NBC execs pushing you in different projects, it's like, all right.
So. I don't think people care no more. I think it's like you gotta. It's hard, right? Like,
because
you can be on network television and nobody will care. Like, I know you had a small role on Carmichael's show.
Yeah,
and I saw Gerard, you know, on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. He was like, "Yo, I might be the least famous host to ever host this show." And this is a man who had a sitcom on NBC for three seasons, HBO specials, been in big movies and everything.
Right.
So I don't think I don't know if people care about that.
The dynamic has changed because you really don't need. There's people on. They've been on the show for eight seasons. Mm-hmm. You go to their social media. Maybe they got 50K followers or whatever, and people just under the radar. Like if you're black on like a CBS sitcom, you on there for eight, nine seasons. But it seems like you're not even popping on social media.
That's right.
You know, once the black community gets you,
that's right.
They can make you look like a superstar.
No, you're right.
And so, but you're getting good money. You're getting that CBS money. But in terms of like celebrity, it's just
nobody can.
Right. And so for us, you know, building now, you know, I just built a social media platform to where, you know, I could bring people to comedy clubs now. So. You know, I've superseded the need for NBC. Granted, I would still love a sitcom, but, you know, I put it in the people's hands now to where I don't need Hollywood to eat. And so that's a beautiful place to be in. So it's like The Village was like, yo, Breakfast Club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Definitely, everybody. Yeah. I was like, why didn't he just ask us?
Well, I didn't think y'all knew me.
Yeah, of course.
None of y'all. You just follow me.
Well, yeah, you don't follow me, though. So
I followed you back.
But you didn't follow me either.
Well, I was watching from a distance.
Follow you?
No, you don't even. None of y'all do. None of
the three. Why the hell I be seeing your videos?
I don't know. But
hey, look, y'all follow
y'all
you, Tony.
Because it was like, I don't
Because you
they
DM'd
me.
Me. And I saw it. I could. That's the only reason I could see it.
Man,
you just seen me.
I just sent that the other day, man.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't check my DMs. I can only see it from people who I follow. Let me see. I'm going to look right now.
Cue it up, man.
All right, so
up.
Look, you guys just talked about Gerard Carmichael. Did you watch his special?
Yes.
Rothania. What did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't laugh a lot, but I loved it. I'm for real.
No,
though.
It was.
God damn, because
it was like a community gathering where he's interacting with the audience.
It felt like he wasn't forcing the jokes. He wasn't forcing the comedy. It was like, you can laugh or you cannot. When he came out, I feel like the laughter revved up after that. Mm-hmm. So there was some good things in there, but mm-hmm. it felt very personal. It felt like a conversation. And, you know, there was a moment in there that hit me personally when he said his mom was silent.
Right.
So that hit me personally because I feel like when I lost my son, my dad and my oldest brother, they just fell back. And I was just like, yo. And I told him, I was like, yo, y'all don't have to give me space here. Like, I need y'all around. And he was like, yeah, we hear you, but we going to give you space anyway.
You know why, man? It's so difficult when you have a loved one and they lose somebody really close to them because you don't know how to show up for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You let them know I'm here for you if you need me.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to show up for you. It's weird, man. It's strange.
And that's why I told him, I was like, you don't have to, when people are grieving, I think we overthink it a lot and we be like, man, I gotta come in there and I gotta hit them with some hard hitting. I gotta come in and say, you know,
I gotta have that quote.
God puts things in place exactly. to where we you don't have to do all that. You can just be like, for me, I hate talking on the phone. Like, notoriously, don't call me. And so all I need is a text, like, thinking of you, love you, bro. There's my boy Demetrius. He texts me every single day, love you, bro. And that's all I need.
Why do you hate talking on the phone?
I hate talking on the
phone.
But
why?
Former drug dealer? PTSD?
No, because you got to show up, first of all.
On the phone,
you got to be there. You got to have energy. You got to have the back and forth. A lot of people just want to call you and talk to you and vent, and you just sitting there taking it. And I wasn't ready to take it.
Oh,
so now
man.
I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. that's crazy to death. And then it's like, you got to be on. Then when you get quiet, it's like, man, you good? Why are you quiet? I'm just, this is all I got. So all of that, I got to prep for it. So it's like, man, what you want?
See, you seem like you would be a phone talker from watching like your podcast and stuff like that. It feels like you would be like a good phone conversationalist.
Right. I mean, I can hang in there. I can hold my own. But if I don't feel like talking, I just be like, that's crazy, Angela. Yep, that's crazy, man. Sometimes you just got to hang in there, you know what I'm saying? Take it one day at a time.
You got people that take advantage of that? You got people that take advantage of that? Like, they know what time to call you? Like, let me call him like around 9:30 a.m. when he just getting up.
This is what I know people do. They'll text me, and then I'll text back, and they'll call me right after that. So they know.
They know. You're pinging. You have your phone.
Exactly. Yep. They know you can answer right now. Yeah. And I still watch it die. I will watch that phone call die off in my hand. I'll be like.
Or if you post something on social media, and then they call you right after, they're like, boom. I know he's on his phone. Mm-hmm. He just posted this.
Yeah. And I see it, too. I'm like, I just posted it. Now they call me. I will watch that phone call die off.
Do you ever not post because you don't want anybody to call you?
Yes.
I've done that.
So you don't like the phone either?
I talk on the phone. You know when I talk on the phone for real? When I'm in the car, mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm driving and I got the Bluetooth, it's easier for me, like, while I'm just driving, because I got to be here anyway. There's nothing else I could really be doing at the same time.
You can multitask, especially when you got the good, when you talking to them, like, it's like they're in the ceiling of the car. You're just like, yes, I told it right. And sometimes you got to, you know, take it one day at a time. I can do it then. But if I'm at home, nah, man, text.
No, you know what I was going to say? Back to Jerrod Carmichael. Mm-hmm. He had these silences that were powerful, too.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people are quiet, like you were saying on the phone, when they're like, you good?
Yeah.
But that can be a powerful moment. How is it for you on stage when it's kind of like
quiet? I don't like it.
Right.
I do not like silence on stage unless it's that type of night where I'm just really just like sitting on stage and like I know the crowd. It actually depends. If it's my fans to where they know me, then I'm more comfortable with, like, a quiet pause, and they know I'm thinking about some things. But if it's, like, I'm featuring for somebody, I'm just doing a show where I got to keep it going, like, you know, boom, 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 boom. Once it gets quiet, I'm like, oh, snap, I can take a quick break if I know it's going well, but I got to go out there and hit you back-to-back to where I don't want you to have time to get your feet together.
Right.
Like, I want you to be like, oh, man, just give me a moment. Nah, I want to kill you. My goal is to make somebody die laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think I can get there. But if I can make you spit your drink out, choke, or just like, nah, man, please, or the tears are running, I'm like, yes.
Is stand-up getting easier or harder? Because a lot of my stand-up friends feel like it's getting harder.
I don't think it's getting harder. You mean in terms of how people react to it?
Yeah, because it was like, you know, with the live podcast nowadays, and it was like, you know, people just, like, they don't feel like the stand-up, I guess, watchers, viewers, or people who come to the show are actual stand-up connoisseurs anymore.
Oh, yeah. There's that, because we like listening to you on the, you know, on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So they come in, they don't really know the art of stand-up. Mm-hmm. So they don't really, they're not always the best audiences. Mm-hmm. They're just excited, but they're not really getting the nuances of the jokes or anything like that. And so I can see that. And plus, you know, people are more sensitive now, and, like, you know, you got everybody eggshelling it up. So it's like, so it's all these things in place. But I feel like stand-up comedy is hot, though.
Right.
Like, you know, it's popping. And I feel like that's a good thing. And then people, I just hate that people think it's so easy to do.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah. People think they can just go up there and be like, man, I could do this.
No. It's, it's probably one of the most difficult things to do on a stage.
Yeah.
You can perform a song. Mm-hmm. You can do a live podcast. Get up there and go one-on-one with that crowd and see what happens.
It's scary, man. I get nervous. I did The Cellar last night for the first time. Oh,
wow.
I was nervous.
Wow, that's
McGee,
your first time at The
first
Cellar?
First time, yes.
Everyone goes to The Cellar.
Man.
Too.
And
you
I've
never
been
know
drooling.
Who's going
to
pop up.
Oh, I've been drooling for The Cellar. Like, every time I come to New York, I'll be standing out there like, man, I want to get in there, you know what I'm saying? And so I finally did it last
night.
What's
the process to get in?
I heard you have to get 3 references from regulars at The Cellar. That's
Dominica.
One.
Dominica,
she spoke for me. Jackie Fabulous did. Mm. Will Savance. Artie Fuqua. And Sherrod Small,
like,
all
12
put in.
References.
Oh,
it was like mad references coming in, but the lady was still like, look out. Mm-hmm. And so Will put me on his show last night. And so I was like, man, so that was finally, you know, me stepping onto one of the stages that they have. So I was like, bucket list. Because I want to come to New York and just be out here for like a month or two and just hit New York stages. Where do y'all live out here?
I live in Brooklyn.
You live in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
Is it crazy expensive?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
This is dumb.
Yeah, it is. It is. New York is one of the most expensive places.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Is your place small?
I have a 2-family brownstone, so, but it's not big like it should be for what it costs.
And it's $6 million, ain't it?
No, it's not $6 million.
It's
I'm not there.
$3
million.
Yes.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
You live in New York, too?
No, I live in Jersey.
Oh, Jersey.
I'm a country boy, man. I need
space,
grass and trees. Yeah,
right.
I like seeing deers run through the yard.
Is deers in Jersey?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Man, mm-hmm. Yes. I got packs of deer. You know, my wife said that she sees more deers up here than we did when we used to live in the Carolinas.
Really?
That's what she says. I'm like, you know what? You might be right. It's only because of how they move.
Yeah.
Down south, you might see them run across the road. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
They're a little bold.
If you're in the woods hunting, you see them. Yo, man, bold.
I got hit by a deer driving to Great Adventure once in New Jersey.
You got
a deer ran into the side of my car, like into the passenger side.
Did it survive?
I don't know. I kept going. I wasn't going to. I mean, it was dark. What happened was my friend lost his keys on the ride. And so we had to drive back to get his spare keys. And then I had to drive him back to Great Adventure so he could get his car because he had to leave his car there.
Yeah.
So while we were driving back, he was asleep. It was dark out. And then boom, something hit the car. And it just ran out from the side and ran into the side of the car.
Technically, that's the deer fault. It's always the deer fault.
They always put it on the deer.
It is, though. The deer.
Because he T-boned y'all.
Yeah.
So, like, if y'all went to court, you in there with the deer, and the deer's like, Your Honor, they hit me. And then they go to the evidence and be like, well, her car got the dent on the side. You came in hot. Mm-hmm. It's probably a male.
I was scared that, I was happy that it didn't run out and I hit it head on. You know what I'm saying? That would have been worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For me. But I wasn't going to stop and try to help her or anything, you know.
So you hit it dead on from the front.
Hopefully it wasn't a person now that I'm thinking about it.
It could have been a person. You don't know what it was, first of all.
Might have been Bigfoot.
Somebody could have been getting chased by a killer and then they were like, help. And then hit the side of the car. You kept going. Angela.
I definitely did. It was dark.
Do the deer in your community wear Timberlands? I feel like they got Tims on, they mad pigeon toed, they jersey.
Yeah, Jordans.
Yeah, they just like, yo, son, let us get what you got.
That's in New Jersey, though. They don't, you know.
They don't do Tims in Jersey?
Yeah, hell yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I feel like
they don't
Tims
talk like that.
They don't talk like that?
Yeah.
They talk like Red Man. Like Reggie, you know what I mean? They talk like Lauryn Hill. I don't know. Who else from Jersey? Queen Latifah?
Naughty by Nature.
Oh, I love music, man. I could talk music all
day. Wu-Tang's your favorite?
Wu-Tang is my, actually my favorite group is The Roots. Okay. But Wu-Tang changed my life pretty much.
Really, huh?
Just because like when Wu-Tang hit, I'm 44. So, you know, I was born in 77. So I remember when hip hop got kind of stagnant, because I've always leaned towards East Coast hip hop. And so it got kind of stagnant around like the early 90s when the West Coast started dominating. It was like, it was good, you know, Dr. Dre, what he was doing and stuff like that. But then they were relying too much on like the same kind of beats for a while. And I was just like, and I know people going to be mad at me in the comment section. They're going to be like, first of all, West Coast. But I just got kind of bored. And then when Wu-Tang hit, I got in my boy's car, Lerone, he was driving, and they were listening to The Mystery is Chess Boxing. And then ODB's verse was on. I was like, yo, who the hell is this? He was like, this is Wu-Tang Clan. I said, who? Wu-Tang Clan. I was like, yo, I ain't never heard nothing like this. And I kept asking him, I'm like, yo, what was we listening to earlier today? And so I was like, yo, Lerone, man, let me borrow your Wu-Tang CD, you know, and I was just hooked.
You know, you had a tape, wasn't no CD.
It was a tape for sure.
First time I heard Wu Tang was definitely on tape.
It
was
and
on
you heard cassette. All the skits, and you were like, "What's going on?"
Because you know, I grew up on karate movies, as we call them, and I was just like, "Yo, this is everything." And it was like, I'm a comic book head, so it was like they had a team, and everybody brought a different style. And I was just like, "Yo, this is everything I've ever wanted in life." And so they brought me back to hip hop. Right. So after that, Illmatic came out, and I was just like, this is everything. Mm-hmm. I stole Lerone's Illmatic CD.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because Shaheem came out.
Shaheem the Rugged Child.
I bought his tape.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, yo, Lerone, man, I got Shaheem's new one. Let me hold that Illmatic. And I never gave him the Illmatic back.
That's a classic.
Wow.
I never gave him to this day.
And your favorite Wu-Tang member is Ghostface?
Yes.
That's my favorite rapper of all time.
Ghostface is all time?
All time. Now, listen, I love Jay is, Ghost has always been my personal favorite of all time. And over the years, Jay has gotten there too.
Right.
But so, my two favorite rappers of all time, Ghostface and
Jay-Z. What I like about Ghostface is he'll name people. You don't know who he's talking about, but he'll tell a story and he'll name the people. Like,
yes.
And you're like, I don't know who that is, but
I'm all
he's
in.
Really telling a story.
He's one of the best storytellers in rap. I think he has the best rap name. And I wish he would have stayed hidden for
right?
a long
the whole time.
Like, we never saw his face, but that would have been so dope. And I feel like he has the best discography in the Wu.
That's a solo. Great songs. That's a fact.
I think he does great songs for women too, because he's really good at doing those R&B like passionate songs.
Because he's not too cool to be vulnerable over a woman on the track. He'd be crying. He'd be like, "Man, I did this for you," and his feelings is hurt. He's still rugged. He's
like
still...
that Wildflower song. Remember
oh,
that song?
Man.
I was like, first of all,
yep, your friend.
You
can
never put that
cold.
Out now. I just
seen
want
on
to
the
say,
man, never.
No, not really. I mean, except for the you know, of course, the couple. References to smacking her, but you know what I mean? He didn't say he did it.
He
said he wanted to.
He wanted to.
Yeah.
And we've been there, you know?
You
want to deliver hands, and some of us have.
I should
have
smacked you, but the God said, chill.
Yeah.
That's your wisdom. God handled that in the lap. Like, he didn't do it.
Ghostface, to me, and you know what? Early on, when I first listened to Wu, I didn't think he would end up being my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Method Man stood out because he had his own track. And Raekwon was all over that first one. So, you know, but Inspector Deck, to me, is the most underrated.
Absolutely.
I always say that, too.
Yeah, because he was, every time he would
super
kick
lyrical.
Off a track, I'd be like, yo, this dude.
I bomb atomically, though.
Socrates' philosophies
go
and
off.
Prophecies. Can't define how I'll be dropping these.
Mockeries.
Yes.
Lyrically perform
on
robberies. Man, it's.
With the lottery.
See, Wu-Tang is special.
Yeah, very.
And so, who's your favorite rapper?
Of all time?
All time, right here, right now.
I don't know if I... You know, it changes for me all the time, but if I had to say... I have favorite albums.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I have favorite rappers. Like, I have albums that I love.
What's your favorite album? Favorite hip-hop album? You got to take one on the space shuttle. You out of here.
I mean, you know I'm a big Wu-Tang fan, too. That was my first job. I interned there, and then my first job out of college was working with Wu-Tang.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
So the first Wu-Tang album, Liquid Swords, was a classic to
yes.
me. You know, only
yes.
built for Cuban links. They all, you know, all of those classic albums.
You taking
Illmatic
one.
Illmatic was big for me. I actually, growing up in Brooklyn, I also really liked Black Moon.
Oh, yeah, man. Black Moon. I got your open remix.
Buckshot, Smith & Wesson.
Come on, man. Smith & Wesson. That first The Shining album. Oh, my God.
OGC.
Helter Skelter. Crazy. But you don't be hiding from this question.
No, that's what I'm trying to think about, all the albums. And, of course, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That was a huge album for me. Like, yeah. That, I feel like there's nothing you skip on that.
That was a moment in time that was special.
Oh, yeah.
When that album dropped, it was like, I had just went to New Mexico State, bought that album opening day, and the whole campus was just, we was listening to that every day. It was just like, yo, this Lauryn Hill album, we was just like, I listen to X Factor every day.
I was going to say that song makes me cry.
Man.
I hate that. I don't hate that song. I love that song. The reason I hate that song is because when my mom was going through her divorce with my pops, she used to play that song every day. And at the time, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I just was like, oh, mom cool as hell. She listening to Lauryn Hill. But as I got older, I realized she was listening to that song over and over because she was going through it.
That
you know
was
what I'm
touching
saying?
Her soul right
Lord
there.
Lord have mercy.
And that
man.
Was a period when soundtracks were really important too. Remember when soundtracks were like your favorite album?
Above the Rim.
Yeah, Above the Rim.
New Jersey Drive had a dope sound. Mm-hmm. Love Jones soundtrack.
Oh, come on. To this day.
Oh,
I listened to that
fire.
To this day when you with the woman.
Fire.
When you with your lady.
Waiting to Exhale. Waiting to Exhale is a phenomenal.
Oh, yes,
that was amazing.
All women.
What album was Just Me and You on, Tony?
Just Me and You, Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, that was great.
Boys in the Hood soundtrack. Mm.
Yeah. I, before you go, Tony, I want to ask you this. I don't want to go back to your song.
Go back to it, man.
But I know, correct me if I'm wrong, a street racer killed him?
Yeah, so they were racing on Glen Oaks in Burbank, California. We lived in Burbank. And so he had just left my apartment. And then they were going to this little peak where you can just go and look out over the city or whatever. So they were making a turn, and so the cars were racing. It was two cars racing, might have been three, and they T-boned them. And so it was three of them that passed away. You know, his best friend Jaden and Natalie. So they died on impact. Mm. Thank God. That really helped me too through this loss, was because, you know, I look for the blessings within the tragedy. It was like, yo, we could have been in a situation where, you know, he might have been vegetative and we had to come to the decision to pull the plug. We didn't have to go through that, you know, or, you know, just any type of
suffering. And
yeah, like suffering like that. They said he died instantly, so it was no, you know, he never knew what hit him. I was like, oh, thank God. And so, you know, there wasn't a murder, like they weren't murdered. So that helps me with anger issues, even though, you know, it's still like, man, what were you doing? But I know those kids didn't intend to kill people when they left the house at night. They did dumb shit.
Yes.
But I can't hold that anger towards them because, you know, it won't serve me.
I was going to ask, you forgive them, basically.
It's not necessarily forgiveness, but it's like I'm not really like, I saw one of them in court. And I was just like, I looked, and I was just dead behind the eyes towards it. I was just like, it was emotional to be in court because it feels so business-like and final and real. So mm-hmm. I was just like, I ain't going to keep coming back to court, mm-hmm. you know. But when I saw him, I was just like, that's one of them. And I was just like, I didn't get angry, though. It wasn't like, you know, because deep down I know it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
They were dummies, but, you know, because then I think about those families that had to deal with, like, homicide to where right. their kids were murdered. Mm-hmm. And then you got to deal with that anger or even, like, suicide. You know, I'm thankful that it wasn't that. And another blessing is me and my son were good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody says what a great dad.
Yeah.
You know,
we were good. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was just like we had a great relationship. So mm-hmm. there was no regret or no, like, man, maybe if, you know, there was no underlying beef that we had. It was just a
love.
Good vibe.
Yeah.
So with that, like, you know, if I had to live with the weight of, man, I wish I would have told him, I'd be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Were they apologetic in court, or did anybody ever reach out? Did they?
I haven't heard from the family of the other drivers, and like, you know, they went in there because, you know, they gonna fight for their kids' lives
as a
family. They gonna be in there, like, then they probably gonna try to slander anybody up that they can. But you know, the guy I saw. He just looked kind of, you know, regular, kind of down, but not, you know. So it was kind of hard to gauge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they feel, I would hope they feel terrible.
I would hope.
you know, but you never know. And I hope, you know, lessons were learned. And, you know, I feel bad for their family because, you know, their lives were changed. But at least they still have their sons, you know. But we can't say the same. And shout out to, you know, Jaden's family and Natalie's family. But
is it hard to feel like, is it hard to not feel like your son got robbed?
Oh, yeah, I feel that all the time because he was just getting started. 21. He was 21. He was into music, so his raps were getting better, you know, because he was always be like, because he knows that I'm very much into, you know, lyricism. Mm-hmm. And like, so, you know, the stuff he was listening to, I'd be like, man, I ain't really with this, you know.
Like
so,
what?
Like, well, I don't want to put it out. And then they'd be like, oh, you ain't feeling me.
Okay.
But like, but like, you know,
but some people aren't lyrical, but they have great music, but it might not be lyrical because that's what you like.
Right. So it was just like, all right, this is his thing. Because, you know, mm-hmm. he did like Kendrick and Cole and like, you know, Drake, I call them the three kings right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So he did like that. So that's something we could listen to together. We listen to Good Kid, Mad City, and we both rapping with it. But then the other cast that he would listen to, he would tell me about them. I'd be like, okay. We shot an episode for All Deaf, like old heads versus young heads. Mm-hmm. And I brought Mobb Deep to the table. He brought Moneybagg Yo.
Right.
And
okay,
so,
that's Moneybagg Yo. Is
yeah, that? And I was listening to Moneybagg for the first time through him, and I was just like, yo, it's not bad.
No, Moneybagg was snapping.
Mobb Deep had a classic album, too.
And I hit him with the Shook Ones. Mm-hmm. I hit him with that. And he was just like, why you like this so much? And I was like, man, listen to what they saying. Mm-hmm. Like, when they came out with this, that, and the third.
Eye for an Eye, that was my favorite.
Oh, song. Eye for an Eye. I feel like, you know, The Infamous is in my top five all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I saw Revolt TV posted something yesterday about what album from the 90s defined your 90s.
Yeah.
And it was like Infamous, Ready to Die, Illmatic, you know.
Yeah.
Ready to Die.
I forgot what else was up there, but I was like, it's Infamous for me, actually.
Infamous is top three. My top three albums of all time, hip-hop. I'm giving the real answers, Angela. She bailed out several times.
I was trying to think because I never thought about what is the... But I gave some good ones.
You did. You did. But you see, I still need a solid
Hardcore.
Decision. Lil' Kim. That was a good album.
Mm-hmm.
So, Illmatic is my favorite album to ever exist. Okay. Any genre. End of the Wu-Tang and The Infamous by Mobb Deep. It's mad East Coast, I know. It's people be like, man, you don't like the West. I do like the West, but those three are probably my holy trinity of hip hop.
Because, yeah,
albums.
The Chronic is a classic album, too.
It is. I like Doggy Style better
and
than The Chronic.
Doggy Style, yep.
Yeah.
I think my three would be Only Built for Cuban Links by Raekwon, TM 101 by Jeezy, and probably The Blueprint by Hov.
Okay.
That might be my top three.
All time.
Yeah, that might be.
You threw the South in there. My favorite album from the South is probably...
I said might be, though. I'm not sure about that. I never thought about it, but that might
be. Y'all don't
be
thinking about these things?
No,
I just got my
joint. That's your job.
Y'all don't be thinking about this. See, now Envy would have had it. Envy would have had it.
So what's your top five?
Top five grieving moments when your son passed. I'm like, man. All right, so when I first got the news, that's number one. You know what I'm saying? Number two is like, you know.
I think I'll ban you.
Envy probably would ask that.
Top five moments.
So who's on your Mount Rushmore of grieving? Who's on your Mount Rushmore?
Finding a crying hard that first day. That's on there. The funeral, you know.
Now, look, I know you keep up with current events, so I want to ask you with this whole T.I. situation.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up. We saw the whole thing that just happened with him, you know, in the club. He didn't like what she had to say about the allegations.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think about that. Cause...
About, oh, yeah. So, rule number one, as a comedian, we never heckle each other.
Right.
That's rule one.
That's what I was saying, right? Because comedians don't heckle other comedians.
We do not heckle each other. That's just a rule that we abide by. And so, you know, that lets me know T.I. is new to the game because, you know, we don't do that.
Right.
You know, and I was just like, man. And then when she came with the receipts of, you know, what he said to her, because it was just like, all right, because, you know, I like to get the, and I know Tip, like, you know, I hit him on the side. I hit him on the side and be like, so what really happened? I haven't hit him about this. But earlier with the thing with him and Godfrey, I was like, you know, I sent him a text. But Tip is a caller.
Yeah. So
definitely.
And then now you got to.
We on
you
the
text
phone.
Tip, he called.
Yeah, he called me right back. And I was like,
yeah,
I can't.
That's crazy, Tip.
Yeah, that's wild, man. It's crazy, man. Stand up. So I feel like Tip has a lot to learn about just the game that he's coming. Because he's coming in from a different field. Like, you got to be aggressive and, like, you know, make the moves in hip-hop to acquire the status that he has acquired. So coming into this new arena, there's just certain rules and like...
What are the rules?
Rules are you don't heckle other comedians. You don't run the light. You know.
So that's when the red light comes on. You have like 2 minutes to get off.
I done seen him broke both of them.
Yeah, so it's like, man, he running the light. He heckling comedians. So it's just like, man. So he's learning as he goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, T.I. is the utmost in confidence. So he's like, hey, man, I'm going to just do what I got to do. Because the pressure's off. I told him, I was like, yo, you have to be mindful of the privilege that you have. Like, right. You know, you are privileged coming in as a superstar. Already, you're going to get prime real estate comedic slots to perform on. So within that, you know, comes the privilege. It's a gift and the curse. Like, the gift is you're going to get good spots. The curse is if you fumble, if you don't do well, you bomb or whatever, everybody's going to know it. They're going to see it. They're going to post about it. So, you know, we were able to come up. If we bombed in the Bronx, I bombed in the Bronx one time. I'm going to bring this up all the time. And I had shorts on. I think it was the shorts that I had on. That's the reason I bombed. Nobody knew. Just the people at the show itself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not online. So he has that gift and that curse of, if he does stumble, it's going to be out there.
Right.
Like, this is what he did with the girl the other day. It was a stumble. It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows it now, you know, as opposed to us being low-key and under the radar.
I just want
to
know who won the bet. Who got the $1 million? Did he actually call it a B-word or did he not?
He said it because they had video.
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, yo, pay up the money.
Yeah, he's got to pay.
Give her that money. And so he went live with her last night. They were together.
In lieu of the $1 million.
In lieu of the million. So. So it was like, so she was just like, she said she didn't want the money.
Listen, yeah. Girl, call me.
Yeah, I was like, yo, I heard what you're saying, and I know you got it. Let me get it. But he did post her, so her followers have gone up since this incident.
That's dope.
So
she stood her ground too.
She stood her ground. She stood firm, and I feel like she's got good exposure now, so hopefully she can run with that and build some off that. But her followers went up a lot. So and that can equal money in this game. Right. Mm-hmm. The social media currency.
Well, Tony, I got a flight to catch, man.
Oh, where you going?
I got a
yeah,
I don't like to say where I'm going, but oh, no, I can say it. It's tomorrow.
He's going to Virginia.
Yeah, I'm going to Virginia. I got to go speak at Norfolk State.
Oh, look at you, man.
Yeah, man.
You're doing good things.
Thank
man.
You, man.
See y'all out here, man. Can I shout out
to Caroline's all weekend?
Please,
of course.
Yes.
Of course.
I'm at Caroline's all weekend. But
it's sold out.
It's sold out. So.
Oh, never mind.
I tried to tell people get your tickets early. New York pulled up. I want to give a shout out to Kev on stage because he is my friend and he has. I want y'all to have him on the Breakfast Club when you get a chance.
Let's do it. You say he's your best friend.
He's one of my best friends because he really looks out for me and he's like unselfish with his, you know, love for me and stuff like that. And he has an app, mm-hmm. Kev on Stage Studios app, Black on app that he has because we can't wait for Netflix. And right. I feel like everybody should get in on the content that he has going. I want to give a shout out to my crew, Brandon Lewis, Keenan Baker, Keon Poley, and DC Irvin, and Chaz, even though he stepped away from comedy. But listen to the Daddy Issues podcast, listen to the Verbal Cardio podcast, my producer, Sabrina Castro. She's also my woman, my companion, my partner. I think that's, I know I'm forgetting.
Give me your Twitter and Instagram.
My Instagram is @TonyBaker. On Instagram, Tony Baker Comedy on Twitter, Tony Baker Comedy on Facebook. But rock with me, man. I'm out here.
Do you mind talking to Sabrina on the phone?
Even with her, like she knows, like, look, I know you don't like talking on the phone, but this, that, and the third. And then she'll hop off. My mom does the same thing. So it's like people know, like, you know, you tell people what you don't like. Some people try to force it.
Yes.
And be like, look, I'm special. What That's Ida Rodriguez. Ida Rodriguez hates the fact that I hate talking on the phone. She's like, look, we going to talk. So she'll send me voice notes.
Okay, voice
yeah,
notes.
Yeah, yep. So, and she gave me a shout out. She gave Serene a shout out on her comedy special.
Yeah.
And Serene is my son. She gave him a shout out at the end of her special.
Wow.
And I got an HBO special coming out hosted by Marlon Wayans called The Headliners. It's been on HBO Max April 21st. I'm going to give a shout out to Marlon Wayans.
Well, Tony Baker, thank you for coming, my brother.
Yes, you got to come back again.
Oh, if y'all want, don't promise me a good time.
Absolutely. Done. That's done.
Because I got y'all DMs now.
Follow us now.
Oh, man, it's over for y'all, man.
It's Tony Baker. He's The Breakfast Club.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.